Now, today's biggest stories from the BMW of Des Moines Sports Desk. This is an X's and O's update on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Trent Condon. Iowa State sophomore guard Tyrese Halliburton helped Team USA to a pair of wins over the weekend in the FIBA Under-19 World Cup group play. On Sunday, Halliburton scored a team-high 21 points along with 8 assists and 5 steals in the U.S.'s 102-84 win over Lithuania. Halliburton and Team USA's final game of group play will be tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. against Senegal. Carroll native Nick Nurse was celebrated last night at the Wild Rose Casino and Resort in Jefferson after leading the Raptors to their first ever NBA championship. NBA free agency underway, and the Nets have grabbed a couple of free agent acquisitions, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, on their way to Brooklyn. Golden State also reportedly acquiring D'Angelo Russell in a sign and trade. To MLB from yesterday, Jorge Soler goes deep again for the Royals.
Swinging 3-0. Put a good swing on it. The ball is carrying to the wall and gone. Opposite field, Jorge Soler.
The call from Fox Sports Kansas City and the Royals 7-6 win over Toronto. The White Sox take another game over the Twins 4-3. Lucas Giolito was solid and Yoan Moncada brings the pop.
Yoan drives it left center field. Buxton back at the warning track of the wall. It is gone! Yoan Moncada, a two-run home run.
14th home run of the year for Moncada in the 4-3 White Sox win. The call from Jason Benetti on WGN. Milwaukee hosting the Pirates, and Marcus Thames gives the Brew Crew the lead.
Thames sends one in the air. Deep center field.
Brewers hold on for the 2-1 victory on the call from Fox Sports Wisconsin. It took 11 innings, but the Cardinals get it done against the Padres behind the bat of Matt Wieters.
The pitch with the runner going, a swing, a long drive, deep left field, down the line. It's a goner. It's in the third level of the Western Metal Supply Company.
The call from the Cardinals Baseball Network. Tonight, high school baseball on the airwaves. Dallas Center Grimes hosting Pella. Coverage begins at 7 o'clock right here on 1460 KXNO. Stay up to date at KXNO.com and all day on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson Studios. You'd rather be here. This is 1460 KXNO. Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and Bulldogs. Yeah, we got that covered. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
The heart is a blue.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, into the 11 o'clock hour. Hawks and Clones coming up. Well, first with Clones and Hawks, Dylan Mont's going to join us in, 12 minutes or thereabouts. 2 weeks from today, Dylan will be in Dallas.
That's crazy.
It's great.
I love it. It is so, so good.
Yeah, so do they beat the SEC this year? Because the SEC is always first, seemingly, with their media extravaganza, quite honestly, and some of the fans that they go to great lengths to keep away from the event.
It is SEC Media Days, July 15th through the 18th. 4 days.
So, 4-day event, and it kind of crosses over Big 12, Big 10.
You talk about spreading it out and getting people to buy those hotel rooms in Hoover, Alabama.
They do it right, Trent. They lap it up, you know, as well as anybody.
Day one, 3 coaches. Day 2, 3 coaches.
That's it, huh?
Spread it out.
No,
spread
I'm glad that's out. Too long. That's too long.
Yes.
So, we don't know any of the particulars. At least, I haven't seen any particulars as to
who's going. I think is where you're going to go.
Oh, thank you for saving
me
there.
Yes.
We have no idea who's going, who's going to be first, what coaches are Monday, what coaches are Tuesday. Likewise, I was on the Big Ten site yesterday trying to find any information. They've got the kickoff luncheon well-publicized, but that's it.
Right, yes. Very difficult to get a breakdown.
Now, and to kind of come up with a game plan for us, because we're going to be on the air when a lot of these press conferences are going on, I would think.
I've already reached out, talked to Mark, Scott, Tom. Hey, stop by, especially Thursday, because the Iowa session will be Friday, though there'll be other things.
So Iowa, we know for sure, Ferentz is Friday.
Yes, they are Friday. Iowa's day is Friday, so they're on the second half of it. Iowa, the Big Ten brings 3. Iowa State and the Big 12 brings 4 players. Mm-hmm. So that also, as we're making our guesses here, kind of impacts it. Who are your 4 Cyclones that you believe should be there, or no, who will be there? Prediction time. Instead of who should be there, the most deserving in your mind, who do you think are the four that Matt Campbell's going to bring?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. Well, I think you'll find most of them on the defensive side of the football. I would start Jaquan Bailey, Ray Lima, are both seniors. Lima did go last year. Okay. Marcel Spears has been there. He's had a terrific career. He's now a senior.
The four last year were Peavy, Lima, Kemp, and Montgomery. Two on each side of the football.
Yep. And so that's how they'll try and do it again. So if Lima went last year, he's out.
He's already made his appearance.
Jaquan Bailey and Marcel Spears.
Okay. What about Greg Eisworth?
Offensive side of the ball. If he's going to bring two, he's going to bring an offensive lineman. Good Jones.
That's where I was thinking. Yep.
Brock Purdy is a sophomore. That's who the media wants to hear from, but he won't be there.
What about Josh? You mentioned Good Jones. Maybe it's Kniffle. Kind of an interesting story how he got there out of Iowa Western. Probably not, though. I think it's Good Jones.
Deshaunte Jones and Julian Good Jones.
Oh, go with a couple of Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
I could buy that. I like the Jaquan Bailey one. I'd like to hear from him.
I think he has to go.
Yes.
He started for a long time.
How about Braxton Lewis, your
guy?
Yeah,
that's a good one. I mean, Campbell's got some difficult choices.
Yes. Wazirike?
Just a junior, right?
He's still got another year. You could go that route, but... Pretty much most years, this has been a pretty easy decision-making process for Iowa State. Maybe sometimes we're arguing about the fourth or fifth guy.
Yeah.
But we're seriously going 8-10 deep, and it's not a stretch.
Mm-mm. No, Lima could go again. Greg Eisworth could go, but he's just a junior.
Yeah, Eisworth is the guy that I really like him. He's just so important for what they do back there, too. A lot of different directions.
Yeah. All right, conversely, Iowa.
Now you only get three here.
We've got to bring...
At the top, you have to bring the All-American Epinesa.
Yes, you do, even though he's just a junior. And Ferentz doesn't like bringing in underclassmen, although Josie Jewell was there and Nate Stanley was there. And Nate Stanley's going again this year.
Going again? That's the one... I'm sure you're right. I'm sure he will be there. We're doing predictions here as opposed to who should be there. But no Nate Stanley. He's not going to get any great fun tidbits, is he?
No, but he's a quarterback. He's a senior quarterback.
So if it's those two are the locks, who's your third?
This is where it gets tricky. Did Wirfs eliminate himself this weekend?
Yeah, for people that missed it, Tristan Wirfs got a ticket, not arrested.
No, it's a slap on the wrist.
He got a ticket for being in a bar after 10 p.m.
Oh, shame on him.
Oh,
road program.
20 years old.
Right? Imagine that.
But that very well could be.
You wonder.
If there's a deciding factor and there's a couple of different guys on the list and Kirk's trying to figure out who are we going to bring, and maybe that's the deciding factor. And that's part of an extra win sprint or two that Wirfs is going to have to run. He's also going to not be able to go to Chicago, which is fine.
How about from the secondary?
I got the guy.
Who is it?
Ojemudia.
You want to take him?
I think so. I think he'd be interesting. I think he'd be fun. Don't feel like we know a whole lot. Plus, I think football-wise, X's and O's-wise, I would love to get his perception of what they're doing with the 4-2-5. He's the guy I've always felt was best equipped for that from what Amani Hooker was. From where Hooker was a year ago, that safety position, big guy, can tackle well. Now, Ojemudia, for a cornerback, he's thick. I mean, that's a big, big dude for a cornerback. But it sounds like that position's going to be probably DJ Johnson, who is more of a slight guy. So, just want to get more of a perception of how they're running that, how that 4-2-5 is going to look. I think Ojemudia. Anybody else along the defensive line? Probably not Brady Reef.
No, Latimer, no.
No.
Golston's just a junior.
Christian Welch.
Senior, right?
He is a senior. Yeah. Kind of same kind of thing. Doesn't do a whole lot. I think Ojemudia is a guy.
I think that Epinesa's table will be absolutely packed.
Yes. The national media will
be
all over
that. We'll want to talk to him.
Yep.
Yep. We'll want to talk to him. He's a top five pick.
Same thing with Stanley because he is the quarterback.
Senior quarterback.
Yep.
And I anticipate that he'll be there. Look, it's tough, the names.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to come up with those names. You're leaving some guys that probably deserve to be there off of that list. All right, we deserve to get Dylan Monson on the program. Our audience does, especially if you're a Cyclone fan. And Dylan will join us next. We'll pick his brain. Maybe he's got some intel as to what's going to happen 2 weeks from today. Is Iowa State's day Monday, or is it 2 weeks from tomorrow? Dylan Monson joins the program next. Then Scott Dockerman in about 20 minutes. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station 1460.
Oh. It's 24-hour sports, morning, noon, and night. You're on 1460 KXNO.
All right, Dylan Monson momentarily. I want to tell you first of all about Dr. Stephen Fuller, fullerdental.net. Couple of locations. This is my dentist I'm speaking of. He's located, well, he's only one of the places at a time, but they have two of the different locations, East 29th Street in Des Moines, or for those of you in Altoona, 410 8th Street Southwest in Altoona, now accepting new patients at both locations. Dr. Stephen Fuller, fullerdental.net is the website. You'll find your patient forms, meet the staff, the services that they provide if you're in the market for a new dentist, fullerdental.net. Well, during the break, we had a good Twitter suggestion. How about Chase Allen? I thought that's fair.
Chase Allen, the tight end.
I don't think he's the best tight end on the team, but that's just personal.
Yes.
McCuller guy.
You and Chuck are good buddies. Somebody going to catch more than 20 balls at that tight end position?
This is the year that the tight end sees significant balls thrown in their direction. Let's 30? Get our buddy Dylan Monson here. 30, yes, fair. Dylan, Trent and Ken, how are you?
Doing well, guys, and I love that we're starting off with some tight end conversation today. It's good to be with you.
It's great to be talking football. The calendar has turned to July. We were talking about your itinerary 2 weeks from today. You'll be in Dallas, correct?
Yep, that's right.
2 weeks.
Seems like it's sneaking up. Two weeks, sneaking up.
Indeed. So we're trying to figure out, I don't know, we had some time to kill. Trent reminded us that Ray Lima went last year, so that probably eliminates him from this year. I think Jaquan Bailey and Marcel Spears have to go. Trent brings up a good point on Braxton Lewis for what he's done for the program, finally getting the scholarship. I'm an Eisworth huge fan of him, but he's got another year maybe to go. So Bailey and Spears, let's start with the defense. Do you think that those are the two that will be asked to accompany, to take a seat on the Iowa State plane and head to Dallas?
You know what? In the past, I think they've sent guys in back-to-back years, so I actually think Ray Lima is going to go again. Mm. I think he's important enough to the defense that they'll send him. And with the veteranness that he provides, I think he'll go. And then I think Eisworth will go.
You do?
I think with him winning Defensive Newcomer of the Year last year, there's a lot of buzz around him being another first-teamer this year. And I think wouldn't shock me if he was in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation as well. And I think Jaquan Bailey could be kind of a candidate there too, but I think those are the two guys that go on defense. But I don't think he could go wrong with Spears either. And then Braxton Lewis, kind of his ascension through the program, obviously they're going to rely on him and lean on him a lot this year too.
Is it a hard and fast rule that it has to be two on defense, two on offense, or with a team built certainly like this Cyclone team, could you see them bring three defensive guys and just one from the offensive side of the football?
Yeah, I don't think there's any sort of policy or rule of thumb that they follow with that. I think they just like to have balance and kind of spread it throughout the team. I think they probably will stick to the two offensive and two defensive, but I haven't gotten word. But I think we should actually be hearing maybe this week even sometime who exactly will be going.
I'm with you. So let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Here it gets a little trickier. I think Julian Good-Jones has got to be one of those guys, been in the program a long time, meant a lot to the program. He's now a senior. I think he goes. We had one of our listeners make a case for Chase Allen. It could be on to something there. Maybe Deshaunte Jones. He's been in the program a long time and has started in the program a long time. He's now a senior. I'm going to stick with the two Jones boys, Good Jones and Deshaunte Jones. Am I on the right path?
Yeah, I think Deshaunte Jones is a really good candidate. I wouldn't be surprised if he went. Instead of Good Jones, I could even see Josh Knipple going if you're going to take an offensive lineman. I think he could be a first-team All-Big 12 candidate as well. And he's kind of had an interesting path, too, because he played 1 year at Iowa Western, came right into Iowa State as a true sophomore, and has been by far, I think, their best offensive lineman the last few years. And then kind of personally and selfishly, I'd like to see them take Brock Purdy. Having the starting quarterback there just kind of gives some different perspective. And certainly with him being off limits to the media last year, we've gotten him a couple times this spring, but to really kind of have him open up and take a high profile position like that to Big 12 media days, I think would be a good thing. So if I had to pick right now, I'd say they go Purdy and DeShante Jones. I'll stick with him.
Interesting. You know, it's so funny seeing what Iowa does, and until a couple years ago had never even brought a junior before. We're talking about a true sophomore here with Campbell. I know Campbell's brought juniors before. You know, has he ever brought a sophomore before?
You know, I don't think so. I was trying to remember with David Montgomery. I don't think he went that year. I'm trying to remember back. I think he just went last year. So I can't remember the last time a true sophomore would have gone. But, you know, as far as true sophomores go, they talk about Purdy probably a little bit differently than they have other guys in the past. So I guess maybe he'd be the rule breaker in that sense.
And your point's well taken, Dill. I mean, a freshman are off limits, and when you guys finally had an opportunity to speak with Brock Purdy, there's a lot of personality there. This is a guy, not only is he great under center, but he's going to be, I think, a real positive influence and spokesperson for this football team as he becomes more of a leader. Yes, just a sophomore, but I could see that happening. I really can.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put him in the same conversation as David Montgomery necessarily in terms of how he thinks and operates and talks, but he's in that same probably atmosphere in terms of his leadership and saying the right things and understanding where he needs to take strides in his game and kind of understanding how important he is to the whole operation of what they're trying to do offensively. So I think, you know, he has the right mindset and mentality. And again, I've only talked to him a handful of times here since he's been at Iowa State, but you got to like what you hear from the kid as young as he is and as new as all of the experiences last year were.
So Tom Manning is back this year, and that first season, what he did with the offensive line, just making them adequate compared to what they were at the beginning of the season, I thought was one of the good coaching jobs. When he was brought back, though, as offensive coordinator, there wasn't a whole lot of conversation of how much involvement he's going to have along the offensive line. You know how that's going to work out? You know he's going to have his hand in it as offensive coordinator and a guy that knows offensive line play, certainly, but you know how much he's going to be a piece up front there with the five guys?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. He's going to have his hands in it, but I think they really do like what Jeff Myers is doing with that group and having a young coach be down there and really kind of get into the minutia of each position because, you know, Tom Manning with his offensive coordinator responsibilities, one of the reasons he's the primary running backs coach is he can kind of take a more broad view of the offense and be able to develop schemes a little bit more and really identify potential issues at each position, whereas with the offensive line, you're not only focused on the center, which has so many different unique aspects to it, but you're having the left tackle who's, you know, as important to the operation as anything and just kind of making sure everybody finds their right spot. So I think he'll dabble in there. He'll certainly spend some practice time down there. And I think having experienced eyes and hands in that kind of world is going to benefit them a lot. And then Matt Campbell, I think, is going to be down there too, as that's kind of his you know, first foray into college football coaching. So I think having as many experienced eyes on that group as possible is a positive. And but I don't know if it's going to be a thing where Tom Manning is the de facto offensive line coach. I think they do like what Myers offers that position.
Dylan Mons from the Ames Tribune. Dylan, you whet my appetite on Friday with you ranked the schedule, Iowa State schedule, from most difficult game to the easiest game. All 12 of the games were ranked. I can't poke holes at anything that you've got. I really can't, and I don't want to spoil your piece for everybody, but just at the top, Oklahoma, Texas, and Iowa in that order, totally agree with you. Where I'll take the question, though, is the stretch, once Big 12 play gets here, three out of the first four on the road, and two of the first four really against terrific quarterbacks, as we know, Brewer at Baylor, and of course Bowman at Texas Tech, really good. But the TCU is at home, but at Baylor, then TCU, but back-to-back roadies at West Virginia, at Texas Tech. Those four games, particularly the three roadies, all winnable, no question, but it's going to go a long way to determining how this season plays out.
Yeah, I think that's the stretch. And we talked about the early part of the season where You know, that Northern Iowa game is always so interesting because it's the first time you get on the field and can test some things out, so that's important. The Iowa game, we've talked about the importance of that, potentially swinging them into another atmosphere in terms of games won this season. Louisiana-Monroe, you're just kind of looking to get through it. But when you get to that Baylor game, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm actually really high on Baylor this year.
Me too.
I think they've improved a lot the last couple of years. And even when they went, what were they, 1-11, 2-10, whatever they were, Matt Rule's first year, I think they were a much different team at the end of the year. And then they put some scares into a lot of people last year as well, and went to a bowl game. So I think they'll be a tough out. And then the swing from Texas Tech to West Virginia is it's a hell of a – hell of a distance you got to cover in just a couple weeks. So, yeah, I think that's going to be the one to keep your eye on. And I know people are excited about the end of the year possibilities with the Oklahoma and Texas games coming back-to-back weeks. But, we're going to kind of find out a lot about this team early on through the first five or six games, but particularly that second kind of stretch where you're on the road so much.
Dylan Mott's joining us from the Ames Tribune. Dylan, last week at this time, there was so much conversation about what was happening in recruiting, what was happening there. I saw this weekend that Hunter Deckers, the newest quarterback commitment, were up in Northwest Iowa. He's been at the Elite 11 quarterback camp, and he's been doing some good things over there. What have you been able to hear what he's been doing during that big-time event for quarterbacks across the country?
Yeah, I think there are 20 guys down there right now, and 24/7 Sports has had people down there all week, and they ranked him as their number nine guy out of that many. And there's a lot of four stars, five stars that go down there. So I think he has kind of opened some eyes. And, he's kind of a intriguing body type as well for the position he plays and for how much he throws the ball. I think he's 6'3 and maybe like 225. So he's a really thick, solid kid. And a lefty as well. So it's a little bit unique that way too. But throws a really nice ball. And that's what he does a lot in his high school offense. I think I saw something that said, if he kind of keeps up the pace that he set last year, he'd be the all-time Iowa leader in career passing yards. So the kid can really throw the ball. And, like we've talked about in the past, I don't think you can have too many quarterbacks on roster, particularly on scholarship with the turnover that happens and the risk involved with injury and playing that position. So a really nice get. And it'll be interesting to see if other schools kind of start to come in now and sniff around because he's been – so productive or noticeable on a national stage.
Real Mitchell was at that same event, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And Rojas a few years before that as well. So gotcha. They've had a few guys in the past that have gone down.
So Dylan, what do you know, is Iowa State on Monday or are they Tuesday at Big 12 Media Days?
They'll be on Tuesday, which is a little bit of a switch up from years past. They've always been in that first group. They've gone on the same day as Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner. So a little bit of a switch this year, but I can't remember exactly what the breakdown is for each team on each day, but they're definitely going on day two.
Great read. AmesTrib.com is where Dylan, he ranked the opponents from toughest to the easiest of the opponents. I won't spoil it for you. It's a great read. I know that you're soliciting questions for your mailbag. You can go to Dylan's Twitter account, @DylanMons. When will you publish that, Dylan?
Hoping to get it written up on Wednesday and published the same day, but if not, it'll be up on Thursday, the 4th of July. So if people are having somebody else drive them in the car, they can catch it to wherever they're going that day.
Good stuff. Dylan Mott's AmesTrib.com. AmesTrib.com is where you can read Dylan the entire paper. Football season is here 2 weeks from today. Big 12 Media Days will be underway. Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, guys. Take care.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Dylan Mott's Ames Tribune. As we take a look at Iowa State, we'll do the same with Iowa when Scott Dockerman from The Athletic joins Trent and I next. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
KXNO. Sports radio in Iowa starts and ends right here. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
You know what this is?
This is Def Leppard.
Yeah. Doc loves his 80s butt rock.
This is a good one. This was a good one.
Def Leppard, you were into that back in the 80s?
No,
Yeah, you know what? My first album I bought had that on there. It was Pyromania, Def Leppard. It was a record back, I think, and I bought it maybe in 1984, so huh. 11 years old. So,
when did the drummer lose his arm, Doc?
It was right around there. It was like New Year's Eve, I want to say in 84 or 85, when Rick Allen had his when his arm was cut off.
Yeah,
it was right back then. I remember a lot more about music in the 80s than I do and what happened last week, that's for sure.
I'm with you. Well, what happened a couple of weeks ago? We'll get to Iowa in a second, but I know you were on vacation, and I know you're up in my in where I'm from. You spent time in what provinces were you in, Doc? Manitoba and Ontario?
Yeah, we were right on the border in Caddy Lake.
You've got to be Manitoba. Kidding me. I spent so much time at Caddy Lake in my life, Doc.
That's awesome.
Did you find the tunnel?
Yeah, we were actually on there, and let's be honest.
It's unbelievable.
I was using a boat I wasn't used to. Yeah. I got to the tunnel, I hit the rock. I hit some rocks with the boater and chipped the motor, and it made for a long afternoon. That was the costliest part of the trip.
I've been through that. I mean, we always thought Caddy Lake, you're going to catch fish, but when you get through the tunnel on the other side, there's no cabins. At least there wasn't. That was I think they called it a virgin lake as far as cabins, but there was fish like crazy, but there was no cabins. So the theory was, well, you know, there's no people that are going to be going out on their dock and catching all these fish. If you can navigate through the tunnel, you're going to hit a bonanza. I'm so glad you did that. That's crazy.
Yeah. I loved it. It was a wonderful vacation. The weather was outstanding, and even the mosquitoes weren't too bad.
Which surprises me.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Indeed. Well, I'm glad you went. I did not know that you were at Caddy Lake. A lot of my fondest memories are on a lake in a boat with a fishing line and some live bait in the boat. Don't catch much, but had a blast trying. All right, Doc, let's get to the here and now. And, you know, we're 2 weeks away from Big Ten Media Days. I want to talk about the Hall, the recruiting, and you did a great piece at The Athletic. The new rules have really helped out schools like Iowa as far as making sure that they've got a number of recruits with this new signing period. The new rules, very beneficial to schools like Iowa. Explain.
Yeah, it's allowed schools like Iowa and all schools, frankly, to extend official visits into the spring before their senior year, starting April 1st, before their senior year had to already start. Well, if they're playing football, it's really hard to squeeze in even unofficial visits, let alone official ones. Well, now they're able to have these students come in on campus in a month like June, where there's really, you know, the staff is able to see these athletes a little bit more closely, hands-on, not have to worry about, oh, you know, we got to prepare for a bowl game or whatever. And then they also, you know, the student athletes, a lot of them are, you know, they're free for the summer. So it's been a win-win for Iowa, being able to recruit in this time of year. And now they're at 20 commits already, which is their high that they've ever had for this time of year. So, you know, I think getting those players in early on campus, allow them to walk around, introduce themselves, and then build kind of a bond even before signing day, during their football seasons, I think it's really been beneficial for this program.
Speaking of recruiting, Doc, a story from earlier today down in the Dallas News, Elijah Yelverton, he's part of the recruiting class for 2020, one of the top tight ends in the country that committed to Iowa here a couple months back. He's transferring high schools, and he's going over to play at a high school that is coached by Deion Sanders. His son is the quarterback, a sophomore, that already has offers from Alabama and LSU and Florida State and everything else. Probably not going to be able to bring Deion's son with him in a couple of years when he goes to college. But have you seen that news there that Yelverton's making his way to a different school down in Texas?
Yeah, I saw that he's leaving Bishop Dunn for that other school. And you know, I mean, I guess it's interesting, certainly, to have, you know, Deion Sanders as the coach. And, you know, you wonder, you know, what does that mean? I mean, you know, Yelverton is, you know, in the fold. He, you know, has been for a little while now. So, you know, I guess it's neat, I suppose, but I'm not putting a whole lot of stock into it.
Doc, we've been speculating as to who's going to be making your way to Chicago as far as who Kirk Ferentz is going to take to accompany the program and to represent the program. Nate Stanley went last year. Does that prevent him from going back? Josie Jewell went back-to-back years. I would think, to me, it's Epinesa and Stanley. Then it gets difficult. How about those two, Epinesa and Stanley? Do you think they're locks?
I would say so. I mean, you look at Stanley went last year. He was only the second junior to ever go to Chicago, and Jewell was the only other one. And you know, I know that's been a little bit of a, I won't say tug of war, that may be too strong, but between the staff and, say, you know, the sports information department a little bit, that, you know, they want to see this as a promotional gig. You know, last year might have been a good time to bring Noah Fant to Chicago, yeah. And instead they chose not to. That the staff sees it more as a reward, and who's going to represent the program the best in the best way. So, I mean, I think A.J. Epinesa does that. I think that, the you know, he's definitely worth bringing. Then as far as third goes, I mean, yeah, I would probably, just to make a guess, I would probably go with Michael Ojemudia because he's a senior. He's one of the very few of the fifth-year guys that really have elevated themselves, you know, and he's the, actually out of the fifth-year guys, he's the only one to play to start double-digit games. So I kind of think he's got a chance. And knowing Kirk, you know, he still skews towards seniors. So I would probably think that would be the route. But if they were to go younger, shoot, there's so many great candidates that they could bring, a Geno Stone, a Brandon Smith, you know, a Tristan Wirfs, although this weekend may have, you know, dinged him just a little bit, probably not much. But, you know, I think all of those have good enough stories that, you know, you'd probably want to celebrate them in front of, you know, a cast of certainly large hundreds there in Chicago.
With that, Doc, if you had the opportunity, and Kirk said you get to pick the three, what three would you pick?
I mean, I would definitely go with Stanley, three-year starting quarterback. You want him there. AJ Epinesa, who's, you know, he represents the program probably as good or better than anybody that I've seen. And then I would probably go with Tristan Wirfs. Yeah. You know, look, 500-pound hang clean, you know, set the record, beat Sheriff out. You know, he's got a lot of equity in the program. They've promoted him, you know, in the spring in different segments and stuff. And I think he's got, you know, plus he's very well-spoken and, you know, just would carry himself so well in that environment. I think it would be really nice. But I kind of think that they skew towards seniors, guys that have been there. So I think Epinesa will be kind of he's the younger guy that's going, and then I would say Ojemudia would probably be the most likely of the seniors.
I want to see Amir Smith-Marset just because he'd have the most to say.
Well, there's a lot to do over the years. I would imagine, you know, one that always stuck out to me would have been DJK.
Or Matt Roth.
You know,
yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's a promotional vehicle, yeah. But it's very difficult to get what you want there. I look at it purely from my standpoint most of the time, which is, you know, do I have enough time to talk to these guys about what I want to talk to? And it's usually pretty iffy.
Doc, who's the we haven't seen. I know that they don't put out a media Big Ten rankings once we get to Chicago, but I think the Cleveland.com does that. But from what you've seen in the magazines, what you've seen at the Athletic so far, who's the team in the West that's not getting enough maybe support? Who is being picked lower in the West than they should be in your mind?
Well, I really think that there's a good six teams that have, that could have an opportunity to win, you know, Illinois being the only one that would. It might be Iowa, and I don't want to sound provincial here, but I mean, I still think Iowa has the best roster of the teams in the division. I think, you know, they have the best tandem at tackles, they have the best pass rusher, they have the most experienced quarterback. You know, they were only a few points, you know, in their final three losses, they were 12 points away. The Wisconsin loss, you know, they gave up two touchdowns in the final minute. I think Iowa's the team that's been kind of overlooked here. I think Pro Football Focus is the only one that's really ranked them up there. You know, number one, maybe Lindy's has, but, you know, I think it was Athlon's that had them sixth in the division. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah, I mean, if there's a bus accident maybe or something, but, you know, I just, you know, so I would really go with Iowa as being the underdog. And, you know, the other one to get outside, I think, would be Minnesota. They got three tremendous running backs. They've got a very good defense. They've got, you know, outside of Rondale Moore, the best receiver in the division, and Tyler Johnson. And we'll see what they do at quarterback. But I think Minnesota could be pretty good, too.
Late last week, the story of the week in Iowa football after the recruiting started to slow down was the uniforms that were unveiled to be played against Penn State. The all-gold look and a little bit of a homage back to the banana peels of the 1990s with Hayden Fry's squad out there. Your thoughts on the new uniforms?
You're talking to the wrong guy, man. I think they're kind of neat. You know, I like, you know, and my favorite ones were probably the ones they unveiled against Ohio State a few years ago. Mm-hmm. But by and large, you know, uniforms don't energize me that much. I don't dislike them that much either. I'm not an old fogey, you know. I know they're for a different breed of person, a different age group, I should say, of person, you know, that just loves the, you know, the splash, the flash. And it seemed like everybody really liked them. So I think they're neat. They're interesting. They're going to be fun for one day. And but, you know, I don't get that electric charge the way some people do. But, hey, it got a lot of play, and a lot of people were really excited about it. So I think it really was you know, it certainly paid off for the Hawkeyes.
Doc, thanks for coming on, as always. We'll talk to you a week from today. Thank you, Scott Dockerman. What do you got coming up with the Athletic? Right. Anything you want to preview?
You know what? I'm on vacation right now.
Nice.
You know, I'm trying to take all my time here. And, you know, so now just what I came out with yesterday about the recruiting was the only story I have. And then I'm kind of just going to hang out for the rest of the week. And then next week, get into football mode.
We are sorry we interrupted your vacation. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
Good to talk to you. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. That's crazy. There's 100,000 lakes in Manitoba.
100,000 lakes.
Is it true? That's, you know, Minnesota's license plates, the land of 10,000 lakes.
Yes.
There was one series of plates, maybe in the 70s. I trolled him a little.
Oh, yeah.
A land of 100,000. It's a true story. And then Doc and I spent, well, Doc's vacation he spent on a lake that I'm very familiar. Trent, it's spectacular. This tunnel I'm referring to, mm-hmm. You can't stand up in your boat.
Okay.
It's obviously through the rocks, and it's, I don't know how long it would be. Maybe the length of a football field. Maybe not quite. And it's not wide. You can't get two boats side by side crossing each other.
Okay.
I mean, you've got to kind of wait and see if somebody's coming and mm-hmm. kind of, oh, it's so cool. I loved growing up there in the summer, man. I did. I couldn't stand it in the winter.
But, you need to go on a fishing trip, it sounds like.
I would love to. I need to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
I need to.
Well, you crossed one off last week.
Yep.
Got to see the stones.
Yep, I did. I want to get up and see my son. He opened up a barcade.
Uh-huh, yes.
He lives in Sandpoint, Idaho. And
those are huge.
He was packed. My kid is his own business.
Pretty cool.
It's really cool. He's 27. I got to get up and I want to visit him sometime, maybe for a couple of days and mm-hmm. 10 bar or something for my son at his barcade in Sandpoint, Idaho.
You ever bartended before?
Yeah, Prairie Meadows.
You did?
Well, when the racing season was over, when mm-hmm. where they were broke, mm-hmm. They had to find stuff for us to do.
Sure.
So because they were just trying to keep the, you know, some money coming into the place before the casino went, and they'd hosted Christmas parties.
Okay.
So some one night, everybody did different things. I was dishwasher. I didn't mind that, actually.
Yeah.
I was the DJ. I hated that. And poured beers. That was great. Valet.
Oh,
this
really?
Is 1989, 90, I think.
Yeah.
Back when
did
the place
all.
Was... Yeah, well, everybody did. We had so much fun. It was so much fun working there when the place was broke.
Jack of all trades.
You had to be. Yeah,
learn a lot.
You did. All right, so tonight we're going to learn a little bit about the National League Central. Two really big series taking place. Chicago at Pittsburgh and Milwaukee at Cincinnati. This mm-hmm. Cincinnati team, they're the best last place team in any division in baseball.
Not a doubt about it. I got the odds, updated odds, to win the division.
To win the Central Division. Whew. Well, it's skewed because the Cubs fans. Brewers should be the favorite, are they?
They're not.
It's Cubs, the Cubs.
Plus 150. Brewers plus 170. How about this price on the Cardinals, though? My eyebrows raised a bit. Plus 360.
Boy, that's big.
It's a nice price.
Yeah, well, the pitching staff.
It is. It's ugly.
Mm-hmm. The starting staff in particular. Well, and Hicks is out too, so.
The fourth choice?
Cincy.
It is Cincy.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 950.
Boy, oh boy, they're good.
And even the Pirates at 14-1. Is it quarter of a unit? Just 14-1.
You're throwing your money away there.
You think so?
I don't think the Bucks can win. I don't.
Not a whole lot of staying power.
No, I don't think so. Well, Al's all eye tonight.
Yes.
And then Kyle Hendricks is not going to make a rehab start. He's going to make his rehab start against the Pirates. He pitches tomorrow.
He does.
I'm kind of surprised at that. And then
75 pitches is the limit.
Oh, is that what it is? I didn't see that. So then tonight, they need Alzolay to go deep into the game, save the bullpen.
Yes. And if he doesn't, you'll see some corresponding moves, I'm sure, tomorrow. Yeah. And they push back then. Whose place did Hendricks take? Oh, Darvish got moved back then today. Mm-hmm. He'll pitch on Wednesday.
And of course, Hamels is on the injured list for 10 days. And Lester had a bad first inning yesterday. Had a bad first pitch. I mean, Schwarber did him no favors. An error in left field in the first inning. And boy, that kid hit a bomb. 450-something feet. Went over the batter's eye. You know, the boat that they have in Cincinnati? In center field. All right, so you've got high school baseball tonight, right?
I do, yeah. Making my way up to DCG, heading northwest, so looking forward to that. Always fun. Going to talk with Coach Payton a little bit this afternoon. His son, of course, in the minors right now. Probably get an update of that before they take on Pella this evening. 7 o'clock with our coverage there with high school baseball as we are now inside of a month before we get to Principal Park in the state tournament. So that's going to be certainly a lot of fun. And one final thing. Up in Johnston,
they ruled you off, did they not?
They did, because in the past, I think you told me the Metro schools for a number of years would ask for a rights fee for regular season. Johnston asked for the same, $1,000 a game.
Wait a second. They want $1,000 for baseball, for every sport?
$1,000 a game.
If you want to go show up and broadcast the Dragons and give them some love and give them some publicity, that costs you $1,000. What does he think he's got?
$1,000. Well, he would.
He's got a good team, but I mean, come on.
Go as low as $300. I was also told.
Still too much.
Believe it or not, I'm not making a lot of money. I am doing this to broadcast. I think it's important for the kids across Central Iowa. But come on.
What's the guy's name?
Joe Nelson. Give your head a shake.
He's out of his mind. He wants $1,000.
$1,000.
Well, go elsewhere. Who loses in this?
I'll be at Dallas Center Grimes.
Right. I mean, you would have been at Johnston if they... That's crazy. Who loses out? The kids.
The kids.
Come on, Joe Nelson.
DCG Pella tonight.
You're on the air at 7?
7 o'clock.
Good stuff. Murph and Andy today at 2. Fanatics at 4. Tuesday, we'll start another day with the Morning Rush tomorrow at 6. Thanks for being here. We're Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station. 1460 KXNO.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.